Sawbones is a show about medical history, and nothing the hosts say should be taken as medical advice or opinion. It's for fun. Can't you just have fun for an hour and not try to diagnose your mystery boil? We think you've earned it. Just sit back, relax, and enjoy a moment of distraction from that weird growth. You're worth it.
All right. Song is about some books. One, two, one, two, three, four.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Sawbones, a marital tour of misguided medicine. I'm your co-host, Justin McElroy.
And I'm Sydney McElroy.
And what a joy it is to be back here with you, Sydney. I was out of town for a little bit in Chicago, but we're making up now for lost time by recording an episode that I have very little context on, but I'm extremely excited by the title.
Well, my dear friend Amanda sent me the article that inspired this topic.
Thank you, Amanda.
Yes, because there was it made news. It was a newsworthy medical item.
Debacle,
and it was one of those things that I was vaguely aware this existed, and then because it's made news, I thought, you know, I have no idea why we do this. I must look into why this thing is happening. So you may have also seen an article.
Are you using the royal you or the Justin you?
All of you, the royal you. Okay. You may have seen a variety of news sources reporting on the consequences of some unregulated vampire facials. That
vampire facials. Now, these are not, and I can't really stress this enough, facials for vampires, right?
No. I mean, I don't think there are any specific disqualifiers if you're a vampire.
Like, so you could, but one hopes that you don't need it, right?
Yeah, because then you're eternally youthful.
If you need a facial as a vampire, I'm sorry, I've been sold a false bill of goods on the whole thing, whole organization.
I think I remember hearing about these a couple years ago. I feel like because one of the Kardashians did one and took a picture. And I mean, this is why things like this get a lot of attention. A vampire facial, we're going to get into exactly what it is, but in the midst of the procedure, if you were to take a picture of your face, mm-hmm. It looks like your face is covered in blood. So it's very visually disturbing, evocative, whatever word you prefer.
It is vibrant. And mm-hmm. to imagine it, it's probably not as bad as I'm imagining it is, because I have quite the theatricality in mind.
You can Google
a lot of candles when I'm picturing this, I should warn you.
There are a lot of like celebrities and influencers and the like who have had this done and post pictures of themselves with mm-hmm. it. So like you can find these images widely available. I would just tell you like it is blood. So I know not everyone wants to see.
It doesn't seem like you should need a trigger warning for that, because it seems implied, but let's be 100% clear.
Some people don't want to look at blood, in which case I wouldn't look at those pictures. But if it doesn't bother you, there you go.
There you go.
Okay, so there have been a lot of news reports because it has been revealed. I mean, this didn't just happen. This happened over the course of like the investigation of this went from like 2018 to 2023. So this is something that has been a story in development. But three people contracted HIV.
What? Really?
During a quote unquote vampire facial.
Oh my gosh.
Now before you freak out.
Too late.
I think it is really important to note that it was at an unlicensed spa in New Mexico where the person who was running that facility would be charged with practicing medicine without a license.
Okay.
So this was not—
It's good. You know what? I think that's a valuable bit of context for you to share, Sydney. That's very noble of you.
It doesn't— I am not saying right now whether or not there's any validity to this procedure.
You're withholding.
But the fact that there are always going to be some people who will try to do this stuff sort of off the grid.
Yeah. There's a gray area that they're kind of hanging out in a little bit.
I don't think that alone would negate a procedure, right? Like, just because there are people who would do it wrong doesn't mean the procedure itself is a problem.
Right.
But it does call into question, should we be offering widely something that could carry this risk? In this particular incident, they found that at this spa, they were not using appropriate sterile procedure. So this would be similar to, like, you don't hear about this as much in medical offices, but, like, you think about something that is widely available that you don't have to have a prescription for, like a tattoo. You expect that at a tattoo parlor, they're going to use appropriate sterile technique and they don't reuse.
Right.
You know, there are certain items that are single use, right? You use them on one person and then you dispose of them and you don't use them on multiple people. And basically, this spa was not using appropriate techniques, reused items on multiple patients.
Oh,
and
man. Ah, no.
Yeah, this is why there was cross-contamination and infections resulted. So that is not part and parcel of the vampire facial, because you're really just supposed to be exposed to your own blood. So do you have any idea how this works?
Okay.
I mean, the simplest, like, have you looked at pictures now? I see you over there Googling.
No,
you didn't look at any pictures?
No, I'm just specifically not.
Because it just looks like somebody's put their own blood all over their face. Like, that's what you would initially think. Like, okay, what now? So you've got to bleed and then put blood on your face. It's a little more complicated than that, okay?
Yeah. Oh, wow. Yeah. Bad.
Here's
it
what
looks
happens.
Bad. It looks like a little bit kind of Silent Hill energy that I am not wild about. Don't love it.
If you go in for a vampire facial or platelet-rich plasma facial is what PRP, you'll see that abbreviation used a lot, a PRP facial. Here's what's going to happen. First, they're going to draw some blood from you.
Okay.
So just the same as you would have blood drawn in any medical facility. It really is just like 10 to 15 milliliters that they need. It's like a tablespoon of blood.
Not so much blood.
So not a ton.
Of blood. What are you doing with all of it?
You shouldn't need that much. And then they take
greedy.
Your blood. They put it in a centrifuge. Do you understand basically what a centrifuge is doing?
Uh-huh. Yeah. You put a liquid in it and then you spin it so fast that it separates a liquid into its component parts.
Mm-hmm. Based on its
so
density,
you can
yep.
isolate parts of it based on their density.
Exactly. So now you can select for a specific part of the blood that is supposed to be the most effective in achieving what I'll go over what our goals are here. So you spin it out and you get a layer of the plasma on top. You've got blood cells and platelets and stuff in the middle, and then you got the red blood cells.
Mm-hmm.
You don't need those. What you need is the stuff with the platelets. The platelets are what supposed to, that's like the magic, the special sauce, if you will.
The special blood sauce.
So then you just take that part. So now we've just got this one platelet-rich portion of your blood that has been isolated.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to put it back in your face. Now, the way we do that, there are a couple different options. There are people who have for a while just been injecting that into different places in the face.
Okay.
Places where you might have fine lines or wrinkles or aging spots, anything. Right? So you could do that. What these facials, the reason I think they have gotten so much attention is that what they do is first they numb up your face. They're going to numb it with like a topical numbing agent.
Very kind.
Just like
thank
rub
you.
Something on there that will make it numb. And then they use a microneedling device, which I saw one dermatologist describe it as like a lint roller covered in needles.
Oh my God.
I know, this sounds brutal. I have never used one, and this came from a dermatologist, so.
But still.
So, and teeny needles, they're micro needles. It's called micro needling because they're teeny, teeny needles. And you're going to make tiny holes all over the skin surface, which basically what you're trying to do is very, very minorly damage the surface of your skin.
Okay. So can I tell you what you are talking about? You're talking about scuffing. That is a technique that we use in woodworking. Basically, you're sanding mm-hmm. off some of the rough edges and you're scuffing it so the stain can get in and apply. So you're basically scuffing the surface. We would use sandpaper.
Yeah.
For that, but you're basically, this like metal lint roller is basically the same
there you
same
go.
Thing. You're sanding down so that the it can better soak in.
And this on its own, by the way,
smoother. I guess you do get a little bit of. I don't think you're smoothed by this, but
no,
this that's part of the reasoning in wood.
No, you wouldn't be smoothed by this part, but the idea because microneedling alone, like you, that's a procedure you can get done all on its own. You don't have to do this next part. But like microneedling,
and that's what they say to you in the exam room. Like you don't have to do this next part,
but you can.
You can. It seems kind of gross. I know.
The idea is that if we're irritating, we're basically getting your skin to activate its own sort of healing, rejuvenating factors. Like all that tiny little bits of damage that the microneedling creates activates healing properties in your skin,
mm-hmm.
and then. Specifically for this type of facial, after you've done the microneedling, you're going to apply the blood product, the mm-hmm. the PRP, the platelet-rich plasma, that you have centrifuged down.
Okay.
You're going to rub that all over.
Okay.
So then it can get in there.
Get in there.
Right.
Okay.
So the whole thing takes about an hour and a half.
Time well spent.
You, after you're first done for like the first 12 to 18 hours or so-ish, you're going to look kind of irritated. And that's true for a lot of these like facial cosmetic treatments, not all of them, but there are quite a few that are somewhat abrasive and you're going to have a time period where your skin is kind of red and puffy and swollen and irritated and whatever. But then it does settle, it'll settle down and supposedly you get all the benefits after that time period where everything's kind of irritated and puffy. Each session can run you, I mean, this depends on where you are in the country and who is doing it and how credentialed they are. And I mean,
if you got Dr. Nick from The Simpsons, you know, then that's, get you.
I don't know, $10. But no, I have seen people who are like, you could find it for as little as $250. And other people were like, no, $500 is as cheap as it gets. There are definitely people out there charging in the thousands for these each individual treatments, $1,500, $2,000 a treatment. And what they tell you is.
I mean, I will say this though. Not going to get it done, but if I were, not sure I'd be cost-cutting with this exact procedure. I think I'd probably try to shave down my spending somewhere else.
And there are people who decide to get it done in conjunction with other treatments, which would, of course, increase the overall cost because, like, some dermatologists will recommend, why don't I inject some filler in there while I'm doing stuff to your face?
Here, yeah.
Yeah, let me put some filler because the filler will give you immediate results while you're waiting for the longer-term effects. Because this is not immediate. Like, we have torn the skin down, so to speak. I mean, not really, but you know what I mean. Like, we've created all this damage and irritation with the thought that it's going to stimulate cells to heal and improve your look long term. So you're not going to see the improvements in a day or a week. I mean, so it's going to be over the
course
of—
They're making it clear that this is not a topical thing. This is like a— This would be akin to like putting fertilizer into the bed.
There you go.
So it's going to be a better growing environment.
You're
going to
see longer term results. So then the idea is like I'll pair it with something immediate like some filler so that then you can see results immediately. And then in 6 weeks, it's going to look even more incredible than you can ever imagine. And they recommend that you get like 6 treatments of this over the course of a month or so. So it is not something that you're not one and done. I mean, you could, but that's not the thought process.
Yeah.
What is it supposed to do for you? Why would you get this done? So these are aimed at people who, I mean, it can be for anything. It can be for like specific fine lines, wrinkles, acne scars, dark circles. But then you'll also sort of see that kind of nebulous, like if you want—
Glow, healthy glow.
Yes, a healthy glow.
Yeah.
Younger, better looking skin.
Vibrant,
exactly. I mean, you see that kind of, those kind of claims too. And that's really common for these kinds of procedures where there are some, maybe some evidence-based things that they can actually claim it will do this. Mm-hmm. But then there's a lot of other stuff that won't get you in trouble if you say, like, you will look better after you have this done. Mm-hmm. And I mean, basically, like, I think that if somebody was especially stood to make money off of these procedures, they would be in a position where anybody, especially once they start getting older.
Oh, well, won't they? Yeah. What wouldn't it be good for?
And we know that in terms of like once we, whatever that means, quote, start to get older, what age that is has changed over time. We know there are younger and younger people seeking cosmetic procedures Whereas I think the idea was that these used to be things you did, you know, middle age and later. Now we're seeing people in their 20s and 30s seeking a lot of these procedures.
It's a really troubling idea, I think, that – and obviously I have privilege as a man in this environment because I feel like men are under such less pressure on this front in terms of aging, mainly because we've used the media to idealize our aging process rather than demonize it for women. But I think it's so unfortunate that that has become more of – it seems to be more of a maintenance thing, like a regular upkeep.
Yes.
Like it's some – before – you like do it before, get out ahead of it. You know what I mean? And I think that is – it is so unfortunate, I think. I think that it's a really, really unfortunate thing.
Well, I mean, I think that the idea is it should be something like anything cosmetic. I mean, it's the same. And when I say anything cosmetic, I don't just mean procedures. I mean, like what you choose to wear and if you makeup or hair.
Your aesthetic.
Or,
yeah, your whole
all that stuff.
Thing.
I mean, it really should be what you prefer and not an expectation. You know, that now you've reached the age where we expect that you have these things done. Mm-hmm. No, you just do it if you want and don't if you don't. And but that, I mean.
There's no judgment,
that's,
by the way.
So
I should make that clear. Like,
yeah.
Obviously, it's a personal thing. I just think it's sad that there's this seeming like societal pressure and media pressure to, yeah.
Right.
To normalize that.
It's the same damaging expectations that have created so many body image issues for so long. It's mm-hmm. the same idea that there is one perfect way that you should be trying to look at all times.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're not making every effort to look that way, then you're failing in some way.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously we know how damaging those ideas are.
For
so,
sure.
So that's what a vampire facial is. And they're offered all over the country and all over the world, not just country, everywhere, by various spas and clinics. And dermatologists' office certainly are offering these too. Usually like part of a wide array of cosmetic services that are being offered.
Who came up with it?
Yes, that's what I want to
talk about. I was
going
to say, that's so far from my question of, can I get one with a beard? Because I'm trying to imagine it, and I don't think it would pan out.
You know, I didn't specifically look that up, but it's hard for me to see how this would work with facial hair.
All right, well, who came up with it?
Well, and I see a lot of people, and I wonder if you would be recommended, I don't know, this is just me theorizing. I see a lot of influencers talking about the importance of shaving all of the fine hairs off your face. Have you seen people do that? Like every little, like it's not just shaving like you're thinking of. It's like these tiny little tools that remove all the fine fuzz.
Why? It's because a 4K camera is why.
Well,
everybody's on the dang TikTok.
And it's supposed
everybody's
to.
Everybody's got to look camera ready.
To be fair, it's also supposed to like smooth makeup application. So,
okay.
I'm just saying, I wonder if you came in like me, I'm kind of fuzzy. I wonder if they would say like, we're going to have to do this first.
I love your fuzz. I wouldn't let you.
Well, I'm just,
I wouldn't let them. I'd stop them. That's right.
Well, I'm not in a hurry to have this done. I don't like the lint roller covered with micro needles was
a lot
for me.
It's a lot
to consider. Okay. I'm going to tell you who came up with this. Why are we doing this? Why are we putting blood on our faces? I'll tell you after we go to the billing department.
Oh, okay. Well, let's go.
The medicines that escalate macabre for the mouth.
I have really enjoyed experimenting with fashion, thanks to Quince. Now, I know that sounds wild coming from me, Justin McElroy, a podcaster. Why, Justin, are you even wearing clothes? I hear you, but... when I want to try a new look, what I love about Quince is they have a lot of different clothing items that are at a great price and are really well made. So if you want to try something, you're not sure if it's like, is this going to be the right fit for me? I don't know. Try it out with Quince. There's craftsmanship that you see in every detail of these clothes. I've bought several, like a pair of shorts I love, a pair of pants I wear literally every day. I mean, nearly every day, not literally every day. You know what I mean? Because there's some days you're just like, you can't. But I've been so happy with the pieces that we have gotten from Quince. And also there's a really wide variety of stuff. You know, there's silk tops, skirts for dressing up, denim for everyday wear. I don't mention a lot of the specific items because honestly, you shouldn't trust me about that part of it if it's outside my specific range of clothes for my body. But I will say this, for my body, Quince does right. It sounds weird now that I say it like that. Find gifts so good you'll want to keep them with Quince. Go to quince.com/sawbones for free shipping on your order. 365-day returns. Now available in Canada, too. That's quince.com/sawbones to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/sawbones. You know, it's tempting to say, I'm going to start on the big new thing. You know, when the new year comes, I'm going to get it all figured out. Here's what I want to tell you. There's never been a better time to start your dream than right this second. And there's never been a better way to start than with Squarespace. We've been telling you about Squarespace for years, and that's because it's simply the best way to make a website. I mean, there's no other way to put it than that, folks. People have been using Squarespace to make incredible professional-looking websites. And they look professional because the templates they're using, they are made by real web designers. They're making, like, building blocks that are going to look great. You just bring your stuff, your images, your things you want to sell, any of that, and Squarespace is going to help you make a great platform for it. Head to squarespace.com/sawbones for a free trial, and when you're ready to launch, use offer code SAWBONES to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain.
Hi, this is Biz, and this is the final season of One Bad Mother, a comedy podcast about parenting. This is going to be a year of celebrating all that makes this podcast and this community magical.
I'm so glad that I found your podcast.
I just cannot thank you enough for just being the voice of reason as I'm trying to figure all of this out.
Thank you, and cheers to your incredible show and the vision you had to provide this space for all of us.
This is still a show about life after giving life. And yes, there will be swears. You can find us on MaximumFun.org. And as always, you are doing a great job.
All right, class. Tomorrow's exam will cover the science of cosmic rays, the morals of art forgery, and whether or not fish can drown. Any questions? Yes, you in the back.
What is this?
It's the podcast Let's Learn Everything,
where we learn about science and a bit of everything else. My name's Tom. I study cognitive and computer science, but I'll also be your teacher for intermediate emojis.
My name's Caroline, and I did my master's in biodiversity conservation, and I'll be teaching you intro to things the British Museum stole.
My name's Ella. I did a PhD in stem cell biology, so obviously I'll be teaching you the history of fan fiction.
Class meets every other Thursday on Maximum Fun.
So do I still get credit for this?
No.
Obviously not.
No.
It's a podcast.
All right, Sid, you're going to give me a little bit of history here. Contextualize this process.
It's interesting because this really started out in orthopedics, in joint care.
Okay.
So
they don't normally get so silly, I feel like. They're usually a little more buttoned down, maybe?
I don't know.
No, they have some fun over there?
They have some fun over there, too. So in orthopedics, and this has been like an ongoing thing, we still don't have a great way if a joint, a knee or a hip or whatever, has undergone a lot of damage, whether that be from some sort of injury or the wear and tear of just life or the specific intense wear and tear of like a high performance athlete or something, right? We don't have a perfect way to fix that joint. We can replace it, but that comes with a lot of limitations as to what you can do with that joint afterwards,
right?
So there have been investigations and research into that area. How can we regrow, so to speak, the cartilage and the tissues that exist within a joint that make it do its thing? How can we replenish and regrow and rejuvenate those tissues to give people longer sports careers or better performance, or just generally keep people active longer? Doesn't have to be an athlete. But I think why there's so much interest in it, is because you have very high-profile, high-paid clients whose whole job, livelihood, everything, career depends on, you know, advances in this area.
100%.
So what we saw back in the early 2000s is a number of athletes who were going to specifically to Germany, but other parts of the world, to get injections into their joints of platelet-rich plasma. This idea, because we know that you think of platelets as something that just clots your blood, right? Like, that's what we're taught.
Yeah, that's what I think of, the right thing that they do. Yeah. See, but a lot of people don't have my deep understanding of platelets. So, of course, the you know, everyday Johnnies are like, yeah, it just clots blood. But us true fans, what do you think? And I'll, like, nod.
And you'll just nod along. Yeah. Right. No, they do clot. I mean, I'm not saying they don't do that. They
we
do
all
that.
Agree. We yeah, love
they
that.
Do that. But they also release a number of signals. And cofactors.
Cofactors. Yeah, cofactors. That's how I normally describe it, yes.
That can help things heal.
Yeah.
Right. So to rebuild, regrow tissue.
Are they anything like stem cells?
No, I mean, they're not. Platelets and stem cells are very different, but I think we're talking about the same idea. Is there something we can inject into a joint
that
will make
like
it start growing cartilage again?
Supercells. We take the cells from their normal job of healing or doing a good thing that they do, and we say, hey, what if we got all these in this one joint?
What if we – a high density of platelets all in there together? Yes. And so – and then there were other – there's a ton of investigations in this area, not just with platelet-rich stuff, but with heated plasma, with a lot of these inflammatory factors in it, or with stem cells, like you said. And all of these areas are highly investigational, even today.
Meaning?
We still don't know for sure if they work or how well or what all the risks are. I mean, these are all still evolving areas of research. And I think that's important to know. None of this is like settled scientific law. We are still trying to figure out if this stuff works. So specifically, this platelet-rich procedure started to become known as the Kobe procedure because very famously—
Oh, Kobe got it done.
Kobe Bryant went to Dusseldorf, Germany, and had this procedure done. By the way, this isn't like against any sports regs or rules. At least it wasn't at the time. I don't know moving forward if someday that'll change. But like this, nobody's like breaking any laws by doing this stuff.
Right.
It's not FDA regulated. So it's not FDA approved. So you're going and getting something done that the FDA's like, I don't know.
Can I say, Sid?
It's not the same as like trying to get steroids or performance enhancing drugs that are illegal. You know, I'm not, because a lot of Olympians went and sought out this doctor who was doing this procedure first in Dusseldorf and then all over the place. Dr. Wehling was the first one to do this. And by the way, this German doctor who was doing these procedures, I mean, he treated Pope John Paul II. Like, he treated high performance athletes, all kinds of famous celebrities, and like I said, the Pope. So
yeah,
it wasn't a guy in a back alley with a weird, you know, syringe full of stuff, and you don't know what it is. Like these are high. This is a high profile. I mean, he is doing these things in an open, transparent way, saying, "Here's exactly what I'm doing." And so, like again, none of this is based on some of the kind of wellness weirdness.
It's
that we pop up with
there's
occasionally.
A foundation.
There's a foundation of science here. Now, again,
is it more of a foundation of science or a foundation of credibility?
Of credibility, because I mean, it is. I think the problem is that when you have areas of medicine where people really stand to benefit financially, and I mean, I think with the clientele here, you see the importance of this. If you are an NBA star, it is really important to you that your joints work. And if they're not, you will pay top dollar
for
something that will give you more longevity.
It's
your whole career. And so I think the problem is that those areas of science, maybe we have people who are jumping ahead without all of the data to say like 100% this works.
Mm-hmm.
Because like I said, these injections used for orthopedic procedures were not FDA approved and remain so to this day. And while there was a lot of research done to show that this might be something very beneficial, and there's certainly a ton of anecdotal testimonial reports, we don't know definitively. I mean, we are not at a point right now where absolutely this is the way we treat arthritis or joint inflammation or joint disease or anything.
Yeah, it seems, though, contrary to a lot of these types of things that we talk about, there is a large amount of money on the table that would validate the expense of research and testing, right?
That's the thing. So there's a huge amount of money on the table when it comes to the orthopedic piece of this. And then I think when you open it up into the cosmetic world, I mean, it's essentially endless, right? The amount of money you can make if you can take this technology that supposedly could heal your joints and give you eternal youth on your face.
Yeah.
Which is what Dr. Barbara Sturm, who is an orthopedic doctor, began to see these treatments that they were doing in Germany as perhaps something that we could apply to cosmetic medicine,
mm-hmm.
even though dermatology was not necessarily her area of expertise. And so she thought, if we can do that in a joint, why not the skin? And the original product that Dr. Sturm sort of introduced was a facial cream that was like a bespoke cream. So you would have your blood drawn, spun down, get the, you know, the platelet-rich plasma.
It's like Build-A-Bear. They give you a little Sharpie to write, like, Angelica's facial cream, rich with my own blood.
It is your personal cream. Yes, it is literally mixed with your own blood, and then apply that. And so that is where you start to see, like, from these orthopedic beginnings, and then you have an orthopedist who crosses over into the dermatologic world, introduces this, and then the idea of, like, well, hey, why put it in a cream? Let's just squirt it in the face.
Squirt it right in the face, guys.
Because I think there's such a, like, comfort level with, you know, in medicine.
Squirting your own blood in your face?
Well, it's your own blood.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that's part of it, right?
Yeah.
Like, there are times in medicine where we do transfuse someone with someone else's blood, and we accept that there are risks to that. I mean, when I say risks, I don't mean to make anyone afraid of blood transfusions. We have done everything absolutely possible to mitigate those risks, and the vast majority of the time, they go just fine, and thank goodness we gave someone the blood product. However, there is some risk to it, and the thought is, if you're just injecting somebody with their own blood, doesn't that seem pretty harmless? Well, what we know and what the whole impetus for this episode is that it's not always harmless.
Yeah.
Because you still have to understand why you're doing it, what you're doing, explain the risks and benefits. I mean, it's more complex than just, what's your own blood? Who cares? Squirt it wherever. So Dr. Sturm developed an entire line of skincare products, which you can find if you so desire. I imagine they're very, like, premium skincare products.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. You're not finding these in the bargain bin.
No.
Mainly because it's got my blood in it. So if you see them, please just get them back to me.
And this really—
You wouldn't want them.
Well, and this really popularized this idea of, like, why don't we start injecting this platelet-rich plasma back into people's faces where we're concerned? And so it starts, again, it's kind of started with these, like, targeted injections. I have a lot of the kind of— like nasolabial folds, the wrinkles around the sides. I'm motioning so you can't see me. Extending down from your nose along each side of your mouth.
Yeah.
That's a common area that people would start having addressed. Mm-hmm. You get fine lines and wrinkles around your eyes. Dark circles under the eyes were a target for these treatments. So all of that started, and then eventually that evolved into, you know, if we just abraded all the skin at the same time and then rub the blood all over the face, then you don't have to pick and choose where you're getting these injections.
Yeah, then you can just go for it.
It also makes the most of, you can draw the smallest amount of blood possible if you're going to spread it topically all over the face that way, as opposed to having to inject it into different little pieces of the face.
Okay.
So that is where we get these treatments. And I think that probably they would not have been as wildly popular had we not had influencers. I mean, similar to the orthopedic world, right? I'm certain that when people found out Kobe Bryant had these injections done,
well, it's also,
they also wanted to get them done.
It's also, in an attention economy, something that is very eye-catching. Like, I mean, you can imagine that YouTube video headline. It writes itself, right? I got the vampire facial that's been burning up TikTok, whatever. You know what I mean? Like, it's a dramatic thing, so it's easy to generate content from.
And there are tons of those articles, by the way.
Of course.
So many people who saw the you know, celebrities and influencers who had it done and immediately ran and had it done too and wrote an article about it. And does it work?
Thank you.
Does it work? So first of all, as I said, this is not FDA approved. Now, it's tricky. This is considered this is regulated differently than a drug. The FDA does not consider the platelet-rich plasma.
Blood, a drug?
Or, yes, your own blood is not a drug. So it's regulated differently. And also, like, it's more regulated like medical devices almost. Human products and then devices. And all the regulation around that is different. And with devices, not quite as restrictive.
Right. If you think about what's actually happening, making a law against it would be weird.
Right.
Like, if you think about, like, what are you banning exactly?
And so because of that, there isn't the same pathway to, like we would expect from a medication where we do studies in, you know, in a lab and then in animals and then in humans. And then we look for all the – I mean, like, none of that has been done. And so right now, these aren't FDA-approved stuff. The technology that we use to, like, extract the platelet-rich plasma, I mean, like a centrifuge, all of that is approved, right? Like, we know that what we say we're doing, we're taking your blood out and we're putting it in this machine and we're getting this platelet-rich thing.
Mm-hmm.
That technology has all been approved. That's old.
Right.
So that part is approved. And there's some specific applications where they've tried this kind of thing in, like, bone grafting situations. So because of that sort of body of evidence, you will see some, like, kind of misleading language around it. Like, it's not FDA approved, but it is using technologies that have FDA approval.
Okay.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
It's a little murky. It is considered FDA cleared. It's like an off-label use.
They're not actively trying to ban it.
They're not trying to stop you. They're saying, we don't approve of this, but we also are not saying no. So it's up to you and your doctor to discuss it, and you need to discuss this is an off-label use. And the idea of using something off-label is, again, that's not wild. Like, we do that in medicine. I have in my career many times discussed the risks and benefits with a patient of an off-label usage of a treatment. But what's key there is you need someone with appropriate expertise,
right,
to be able to have that conversation. And then you need to ensure that the patient has informed consent, meaning they understand exactly why it's off label, what could go wrong, what are the benefits, so then they can make an informed decision. And I think what's tricky about that is if you have this area of, I hate to even say medicine, where we don't have one. We don't only have board-certified dermatologists doing this. That's great if you do. If you have a board-certified dermatologist, they can talk you through all this because they have the knowledge and training. But if you have, like in the original article, if you've got an unlicensed spa with people who don't have that sort of knowledge and understanding doing these procedures, then informed consent becomes impossible because you cannot be informed.
Right.
And then the other part of it is, what are they telling people it's going to do for them? Because when I discuss risks and benefits, I'm very clear on, here's what I know this would do for you, and here's what I can't claim. Reviews from as recently as 2021 are still not showing clear evidence of improvement from these procedures. And when I say improvement, I mean they're looking at very specific metrics. Are wrinkles less noticeable? Are fine lines less noticeable? Are dark circles less noticeable? Like, they are looking for very specific things. Acne scarring, that's always an area they're looking at. Are these things less noticeable? And they do not consistently show a benefit.
Ugh.
Part of this is because it's very subjective.
Right.
But then part of it is that they just aren't showing that yet. The results are not statistically significant. And I will say, I looked at a number of before and after photos. I felt like there was something wrong with my perception, because I was looking at before and after photos that to me did not look that different. And so then I'm thinking, like, is something wrong with, like, why am I not seeing the difference? But then that's subjective. I'm looking at them. I don't see the difference. Who cares? That's an anecdote. That doesn't mean anything. But right now the data is saying, yeah, we're not sure. These vampire facials may not actually do anything.
Mm-hmm.
And certainly we know that, like, whether or not platelet-rich plasma may do something in joint injections, may be beneficial to help stimulate the growth and healing of tissues, which it might well be. There's research that indicates it may well be. Right now, I don't have a study to tell you that paying $2,000 to have your own blood smeared on your face is going to do anything for you. And I mean, and even the, you know, when you ask like the dermatologist with the American Academy of Dermatology, like when they issue statements on what they think of this, basically what they say is, we're not sure. There's a lot of research that needs to be done, and it should only be done by board certified dermatologists who can have the kind of risk benefit conversation that an off label treatment like this, you know, can do. And it's only safe if you have all of the proper technique, sterilization of equipment, informed consent, someone, you know, an operator who knows what they're doing.
Right, right.
And then, of course, if you do have any sort of bleeding disorders, this is not something, I mean, they are drawing your blood. So if clotting and bleeding, if these are issues you already have, I would definitely talk to your medical professional, your own provider about it before seeking these out, because obviously they're taking your blood in the procedure.
For sure. 100%. So, can't deny it.
Yeah.
Thank you, Sydney. I'm disappointed that I won't be getting this procedure anytime soon, but maybe for the clicks. Maybe I'll do it for the clicks or for Vine. If they bring Vine back, I might try it. Thank you so much for listening to our podcast. I hope you've enjoyed yourself. Thanks to the taxpayers for the use of their song Medicines as the intro and outro of our program. And thanks to you for listening. I really do appreciate it. That's going to do it for us. Until next time, my name is Justin McElroy.
I'm Sydney McElroy.
And as always, don't drill a hole in your head.
Maximum Fun,
a worker-owned network
of artist-owned shows,
supported directly by you.